All right, it is Monday morning. We have all had them, bulldozer moments, that moment that your world changes, seems to collapse at the time, whether it's something that happens to you or to a loved one, it can really change everything. Our next guest has had those bulldozer moments and has learned how to use those as a source of strength instead of adversity. Donato Tramuto has written the book, Life's Bulldozer Moments, How Adversity Leads to Success in Life and in Business. Donato, good morning, and thanks for being with us today.
Good morning, Paul. Thank you for having me.
You you had a rough start in life. You have, however, become a healthcare CEO and a global health activist. Tell us a little bit about your bulldozer moments.
Yeah, as you stated very very well, we all have had them. I lost my hearing at age 8, and for nearly 10 years, I suffered bullying by friends and classmates and family members. I failed the fifth grade, rejected from every college that I had applied to at age 18, because at that time, many of the colleges looked at me as having a disability. And so, you know, I wanted to write this book because, you know, I believe that it's not so much the bulldozer moment that you have. It's what you do in terms of how you get out of the rubble and get yourself back to a situation where you can really do good from that struggle you had in your life. And through my hearing loss, it wasn't just the hearing loss. I had lost a brother in a car accident. My sister-in-law, who was my speech pathologist, she had died months later following the restoration of my hearing back in 1972. And what really culminated, I think, a significant bulldozer moment for me was September 11th, 2001. I had been scheduled to be on that second flight that hit the South Tower. My two friends and their three-year-old, who were visiting me that weekend at my home in Maine, unfortunately got on the plane. I lost the three of them when that plane hit the South Tower, and it was an opportunity for me to redefine my own life. And rather than be bitter and rather than be angry, which I think sometimes a bulldozer moment can create that situation, I sought to take that energy and to put it in good initiatives, and I'm kind of glad I did.
Your book sort of explains how we all can take those bulldozer moments and turn them into good, but it also talks a lot about what you've done in the healthcare industry, where you are what you would describe as an activist in the global healthcare industry. What made you into an activist, and what sort of things do you do as an activist?
Well, I'm a firm believer nobody cares what you do in life until they know why you do it. And I think that's the beauty of a bulldozer moment, is that you find your passion, you find your why. And for me, I have been haunted by the reality that in our lifetime, 1 billion people will go to their graves prematurely because they never had access to a healthcare worker. 6 million are children who die each year because they don't have access to medication or access to a healthcare worker. And I think for me, having witnessed my own hearing loss and having witnessed the challenges of medication errors and individuals who should have that access, you know, for me, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, Article 25, states that healthcare is a basic right for every single person. And so as an activist, I have been determined in my lifetime to create opportunities to provide access. We created the not-for-profit foundation Healthy Villages, which stands for Heal the Villages. We are bringing technology into developing countries, into our own communities here in the United States, into urban areas, where we believe that technology can provide the kind of access to every single person. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor or where you live. I think the next currency in our world affairs is healthcare access. And so that's kind of the challenge that I've taken on over the last 15, 20 years. And it's the challenge that I will continue to take on, you know, for as long as I'm living.
You mentioned technology playing a key role in access to healthcare. Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, so you know what? It's very funny. I can probably best give you an example. If you look at India, for example, India has a population of 1.2 billion people. 45% don't have toilets, but over 65% have mobile phones. There are 700,000 doctors in India for a population of 1.2 billion. Here in the United States, we have the same amount of doctors for a population that is only 330 million. So the light bulb went off about 8, 9, 10 years ago that we don't have the time to educate more physicians and nurses, but technology, being able to enable physicians and nurses and consumers to access information on their mobile, to have telemedicine where you can connect somebody who might be in a rural area to a, you know, hospital in Boston, to be able to advance, if you will, the treatment and the care of patients via technology. A great example, in a small village in East Africa, 100 babies per 1,000 births were dying. And they were dying because the pregnant mothers couldn't get to the community health center, or they were at high risk for their pregnancy. We went into the community with Healthy Villages. We downloaded our tablets with a pregnancy app, and we put them in the hands of the villagers who were able to identify who in that community was, in fact, expecting a baby and were they at high risk. And we were able to get those high-risk mothers into the community health center. Today, infant mortality has been reduced from 100 deaths per 1,000 births down to 20. 80 more babies per 1,000 births are alive because of technology. And so we have the means. And I think today it's no longer about innovation. It's about integration. We need to work together. And I write about this in my book. The higher your collaborative IQ, the more we can get done in healthcare. And we have to be willing not just to innovate, but we should be integrating what's out there in a way that really does drive collaboration.
Of course, in this country, the debate has been raging for decades now about how to deliver health care and access to health care. And my insurance may not be the same as your insurance, may not be the same as my neighbor's insurance. What can we do to get all Americans better access to adequate health care?
Well, I think it first starts with, I think every person deserves basic coverage. And I think that that's one of the arguments that we make, certainly in the healthcare reform. But I also think it has to center around the consumer. I think that we don't give the consumers enough credit. The consumers are smart, just like my example that I gave you in East Africa. Just because you are poor does not mean you don't have the capacity to make good decisions. And so I think you have to understand what the consumer wants. I don't think the consumer wants to wait an hour in a doctor's office. I don't think the consumer wants to go to the emergency room. And so we have to bring technology together that connects the consumer with the physician. But it all begins first by providing a basic benefit package. And if Donato wants to go out and, you know, spend more on healthcare, then that should be, you know, out of my pocket. But I think you have to have a basic coverage across the entire spectrum. And then give the tools to physicians and consumers. They are bright and intelligent, and they'll make the right decisions for themselves. I don't think we can force decisions on consumers the way we did with my parents, or my parents who basically deferred to their physician. It's got to be an active, you know, partnership, just like when you bring your car into being serviced. You are in an active dialogue with the service shop, and I think the same has to happen here. And we have to kind of look at care as not necessarily having to happen in the hospital or having to happen in a physician's office. I think there are a certain amount of illnesses that can be done through telemedicine, that can be done with technology.
We're talking with Donato Tramuto. His book is Life's Bulldozer Moments, How Adversity Leads to Success in Life and Business. I wish we had more time. We're rapidly running out of time. Tell us a little bit, if you would, about your company and your nonprofit, Healthy E-Villages.
Sure. I'm very proud at this stage of my career to be the CEO of Tivity Health. It's a publicly traded company. What we do is we provide physical and social fitness to a population 65 and older. We are a firm believer that the more you can get the seniors out of the home to do something, the more you can provide, if you will, a benefit to their well-being and a benefit to their overall health. For example, we know today that social isolation among the seniors The effects of social isolation is equivalent to the smoking 15 cigarettes per day. And we've ignored that because it's not a diagnosis that you would normally make. And so what Silver Stickers, which is our flagship product at Tivity Health, what we do, and we've done this for the last 25 years, we have recorded nearly a billion membership visits. We have recorded nearly 7 million call center calls. What we do is we're able to get the members out of their home and do something and connect with other members. I'll give you a great story. I was recently at the birthday celebration of one of our oldest members. She's 103 years old. Mm. She started our program going to the fitness center and going into social activity when she was 89. She credits Silver Sneakers as being a significant conduit to her living the life that she's living today. And so that's Tivity Health and Silver Sneakers. Healthy Villages is a program that I started about 7 years ago to address this problem that I had shared with you, you know, a few minutes ago, that in our lifetime, a billion people will go to their graves prematurely because they did not have access to a healthcare worker. Healthy Villages is a technology program that provides tablets and provides content to whoever has the need to use that technology to advance, if you will, better healthcare access and better healthcare. And we're now in 12 countries. We're rapidly expanding here in the United States. And last June, we tied in Healthy Villages with Tivity Health. We are addressing this loneliness in the United States among seniors by using Healthy Villages technology and providing, if you will, connectivity to the seniors. What we're learning is many seniors are lonely because, A, they can't afford the service for Wi-Fi. They don't have the funds to buy the tablets and the cell phones and mobile units, and we're now experimenting to see whether or not our support of those devices and getting broadband in the rural communities can help to address the social isolation that I just alluded to.
Wow. Interesting stuff. I wish we had more time. Donato, thanks for your time this morning. We appreciate it very much.
Very good. Make it a great day.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye. Take care.